Good morning. I want to welcome everyone in our listening audience today. We hope you're having a happy Sabbath. We pray for God's blessing upon you today as we are looking at His Word. Today, as I begin, I'd like to invite you to pray with me if you will, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that as we open your Word today that you would send your Holy Spirit to speak to us. Help us to rightly discern the truth that we find in your Word. Help us to rightly divide that and to be able to apply all of those truths to our personal lives. And we pray for your blessing and guidance for us today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible and it's possible for you to follow along with me today, I'd invite you to follow. I'm going to be reading from James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, I'm going to be reading at beginning at verse 1 and going through verse 18. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all, and if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven by fierce winds, and yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of bird, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings, and my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, and full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Today we're looking at this issue of talebearing or gossiping, peddling different information among other people. And I've come across a definition of what a talebearer or a gossip is, and it's a person who goes about dealing in scandal and calamity, getting the secrets of people and retelling them wherever they go. And I believe this is an issue that, as human beings, we all struggle with. And it's easy for us to be drawn into or caught up into a situation sometimes where someone is talking to us about certain things, and we feel uncomfortable about it, but it's a little difficult and hard to get away from the situation. And sometimes we might even be tempted to join in some of those thoughts and conversations that are not real uplifting to all of us and certainly doesn't glorify God. The motive, from what I can gather, is for someone to be a talebearer or a gossip is to expose the weakness of his victim by showing it in its most unfavorable light. And oftentimes this is done because the people that are doing this, the gossips that are going around spreading different lies and stories, it's because they don't really know Jesus or our Father, and they're lacking the Holy Spirit's presence in their life. And I think this is a serious issue that we have to look at, because this is not what God wants His church, His people, to be like. God wants us in these last days to make preparation for heaven. And we can't do that. We can't be the kind of people God wants us to be while we're on the wrong side. I believe up in heaven that Satan did everything he could to counteract all of the goodness and righteousness of God. He went around with all of the angels trying to deceive them into believing that God was this great ogre that was up there, and that he didn't want their best for them, that he was constantly asking them to do something that they could not perform, and he was asking them to do something that they couldn't possibly achieve. And the devil was constantly talking to the other angels, and he was so affected at that he, in fact, was able to convince a third of the angels in heaven to rebel against God and all of that God stood for. I believe that the devil is the one that has initiated this whole process of gossiping about other people and sneaking around behind somebody's back and talking about them in a way that is not in a positive, uplifting, encouraging way. The devil did everything he could to make the angels of heaven think that God had made mistakes. And it seemed like everything that God did in heaven, the devil tried to convince all of the angels there that God had done that, and that he was always constantly trying to lift up some little issue that was a mistake of God. And he was always trying to see everything that God did in an unfavorable light. Now, there's people like that here on earth that do the same thing. That's the way the enemies of Jesus construed some of his words when he spoke to people. Often the enemies of Jesus tried to take his words and what he was doing and always tried to twist them and make them say something that they weren't. And if you have your scriptures, I want to show you a place in the scriptures where Jesus had said something, and then the people who were against Jesus, his enemies, they twisted what he had said to try it make it look like something that he had never intended it to say. So look with me now in Mark chapter 14. We're going to start in verse number 55. In Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 55, it says, "And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another without hands." Did Jesus really say that? Well, he said something like that. It was a little close to that. It almost resembled that, but this is what Jesus really said in John chapter 2. And if you'll turn there with me, in John chapter 2, in beginning in verse number 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days?" But he spake of the temple of his body. And you see how they twisted the truth of what Jesus had said. And so many times people hear something, and they have an agenda, they twist it, and they make it say something that it didn't. This is the way that the tale was spread that Jesus had not been raised from the dead. In fact, when you look in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 11 through 15, there were people there who knew that Jesus had been resurrected, but yet, because they were given some money, they told a lie that was about Jesus' resurrection so people would believe something besides what was really true. And in Matthew 28, beginning in verse number 11, "And now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. And so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." And so this idea of being able to take something that is true and twisting it to the destruction of somebody else is not of God. It is what the devil does to destroy God's people. The devil uses this to destroy the confidence of people who hear these things, these twisted half-truths. The devil uses that to destroy the confidence of people and the people that, in the victim that is being persecuted like that. Well, that was what the silversmith did to enrage the people against Paul. To discredit a person in the eyes of others is one of the most ruthless deeds that can be done to any person. It is a slander against that person. It is a defamation of their character, and it is not from God that this happens. Many of us are reminded that we too have been guilty of this hideous sin at one time or another. In some way or another, we have either started the process or we have been drawn in by someone else in talking about somebody in an evil way. God foresaw this evil, and he put it into the Ten Commandments, this injunction, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You know, if you think about it, what the devil did up in heaven is the same thing he does down here. It is the same play, the same story. He's just using different actors down through the centuries, different people playing the same part, doing the same thing, over and over and over again. And you would think as Christians who read the Bible and study and pray, we would be a little more wise about the deceptions, about the method that the devil uses to destroy each one of us. Different actors, but the same play. And you know that the devil used this up in heaven, and he was very successful at it. And he uses it down here on this earth with us and against us because he knows it works so well. To bear false witness means to say something that is not true. And if it is not true, it is a lie. And to be deceiving, deception is a lie. And you know, I've heard people say it's just a little white lie, but a lie is still a lie. No matter what color it is, a lie is still a lie. And we know that the talebearer is the work of the devil. And those who are guilty of it are his agents peddling his wares. We have to make sure we're on the right side, friends. And if we're Christians calling ourselves Christ's disciples, people of God, then we need to make sure that we're on the right side, on the side of God. And when we step across that line and start doing the devil's work, we're on the devil's side. And we have to make sure that we do not become guilty of peddling the wares and become agents of the devil by gossiping and peddling these tales of other people. And I think there's some serious thought for us here today and that we should be praying about, because the temptation is ever present for us to say something unkind or something that is really not accurate and true, just like many people did. The enemies of Jesus did the same thing to him. The devil did it against God in heaven. You know, up in heaven, when the devil was doing everything he could to undermine the confidence of all of heaven in God, he could only use means that were consistent with his character, truth and righteousness. But Satan, he could use what God could not, flattery and deception. And he could use deceit in a way that convinced a third of the angels in heaven to turn against God and disbelieve that God was really a God of love. Though there is harm in talebearing, and there's harm that is beyond our calculations, friends. First of all, we think of the harm the talebearer does to himself. In Matthew chapter 15, if you will turn with me in the scriptures there to Matthew chapter 15, we're going to be looking at verse 17 and looks like through 20. Matthew chapter 15, and begin at verse number 17. And Jesus is here talking to the Pharisees and the scribes who are confronting him about the disciples not washing before they eat. And Jesus is trying to explain to them, you know, it's really not important about washing your hands before you eat. He's saying that, you know, that little bit of dirt you put in your mouth is really not all that important. But look at this in verse 17. He says, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. We have to be certain that what Jesus is saying here is that what comes out of our mouth, it comes because it's in our heart. And we have to make sure that as God's people, we only let those things come out of our mouth that will edify someone else and uplift them and encourage them, and not gossip about them and say things that are only half-truths or that are a deception. You know, in the years that I've been a pastor, I've had a lot of people talk bad about me behind my back. I've had a lot of people say things about me that are totally, absolutely untrue. I've had people take my words and twist them around to where they said something different than what I ever intended. And you know, in all those years that people have done that to me, I've only had a handful of people ever come to me and confess that and admit it and ask for forgiveness. I wonder where the rest of them are at. I certainly hope they've confessed it to God. And I know there are many people in many churches around the world. This happens to pastors and leaders everywhere you look. And there is divisions and chaos in churches everywhere. And there is divisions happening in every church because people were sneaking around just like the devil did up in heaven and have caused division in churches and are killing the Spirit of God in that church. And when this kind of thing keeps happening in a church, friends, it kills the spirituality of the individual who participates in it. It kills the spirituality of the church and kills it from growing the way God wants it to. We wonder why. Why do we spend so much time on things like this? Well, I tell you, it's important because it has to do with our relationship to Jesus. It has everything to do with our spiritual walk with the Lord. And when we're doing these things, it separates us from Him. It doesn't matter how dirty your hands are when you eat, friends. What matters is what's in your heart. And what comes out of your mouth demonstrates what you really have in your heart. Whenever someone is participating in these talebearing or gossiping, these half-truths, these little white lies, they're guilty of the transgression of the ninth commandment of bearing false witness. Exodus 23 verse 1 says, "Thou shalt not raise a false report." And there are many people that you can think of in the Bible who have lied and done bad things. Think about when Joseph was in Potiphar's house and how Potiphar's wife twisted the truth and made it look like Joseph had done something that he had never committed. I believe that the Jews did this constantly to Paul, to Jesus, to anybody who was professing the truth from God's word. And this is why the devil uses people on this earth as his agents, his tools, because he can't stand it that people love Jesus. And he does everything he can to destroy them and the work that God has called his people to perform. When we attempt to evaluate the hurt that the talebearer causes to his victim, we can't help but see how these wounds are sometimes hard to heal. Things that are said can never be taken back. The pain that is caused by that, the wounds that have given someone some anguish in their emotions, you can't heal that, friends. The talebearer brings strife among people. Listen to what Proverbs 26:20 says. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And so where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. We need to be aware of the gossip and the talebearer. They will surely reveal secrets. And if you don't feel comfortable in putting it in the bulletin so that the whole church can see it, I believe I'd be quiet and not tell anybody. When people volunteer information about other people, you need to be on guard because they are aiming to get you in trouble. And not only have they headed down the wrong path And their spirituality is in question because of what they're doing. But they're going to try to do everything they can to draw you in, and it will harm you spiritually as well. We need to be on guard. We need to make sure that we protect ourselves from the devil. He hates every one of us. Anyone who professes to be a child of God, the devil hates us. And he's going to do everything he can to destroy us and to keep us from following what God wants us to do. And it may seem innocent. It may seem like it's no big deal to get caught up in a conversation where you're talking bad about somebody else, where you're passing along private information, where you're gossiping about someone, about something that you really don't have 100% knowledge about. But I can tell you this. The devil is using you as one of his agents to accomplish his goal, to bring chaos and division and disunity into your relationships with others. The talebearer has done great harm through gossip. It has broken up homes, and it has led to suicide. And I've heard of many situations where people get on the internet and they start saying things that are untrue, and people end up committing suicide as a result of those things. Private information is given out, and people feel like they can't deal with that. The world knowing about their private information, they end up committing suicide. People use these gossiping situations to be able to bully other people, to manipulate them. It has brought about deep sorrow and grief to innocent people. Well, I guess if I was God and I could read the heart of every person, I'd be able to tell if what someone told me was true or not, but I'm not able to do that. And I don't think any of us have a complete knowledge of anything that is told to us, whether or not it's told with a bias or not, or whether someone has an agenda they're trying to accomplish. We can't see if somebody hates somebody else. But I do know this, that when we're caught up in that kind of a situation, whether we participate in it knowingly or unknowingly, friends, it does something to us. And we have to guard ourselves against the devil's attack. But how do we guard ourselves against the devil? How do we guard ourselves against this issue of gossiping and talebearing on somebody else? First off, we don't associate with them. If you know somebody's a gossip and a talebearer, don't associate with them. That's one way to stop it. That's one way to protect yourself from being drawn into that situation and having your spiritual life being affected by that and being seen by God as an agent of the devil. We need to train ourselves to speak well of other people. We need to speak well of people in private, and particularly in the presence of people who are known as gossip peddlers. If someone talks about the weaknesses of others in our presence, friends, we need to either change the subject, let the party know that you're not interested in talking about the weaknesses of others, or just leave them. You know how easy it is to find the weaknesses and failures and shortcomings of people around us? I want to challenge you today, whoever you are, wherever you're listening today, that you would start praying that God would help you to start seeing the positive, good things in other people. The devil wants us to find the faults and to highlight those. But God has given to every one of us good characteristics. God has done good things for every one of us, and he wants us to see the good that he has put into us. He wants us to highlight that and encourage one another and edify one another by lifting each other up with these good things that he has done for us and through us. You know, if we were to use these kind of principles of not listening to the talebearer, to change the topic, tell that person we're not interested in participating in that kind of conversation, or just not associating with them, I believe it wouldn't be long before that talebearer, that gossiper, would stop doing what they're doing. When we understand what God says about this gossip, this talebearer, I believe that we would, if we truly understood how God feels about it, that we would not want to be a part of that. We wouldn't really want to be guilty of that sin in our life. And believe me, it may seem innocent, but it is a sin. And God talks about it all the way through the scriptures, Old and New Testament alike, because God understood what the devil did to him up in heaven and how he destroyed the unity and the peace of heaven through this same kind of deceitful lies. And he has been so successful with it down through the centuries, and especially here on earth, he has caused us to be a part of that over and over. And there comes a time, friends, when we just need to stop participating with the devil and get on the right side. In Proverbs chapter 11, 13, if you'll turn in your scriptures with me there, in Proverbs chapter 11, at verse number 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. If you can't put it in the bulletin, don't say it. If someone tells you something private, keep it private. Make it a habit to talk good about others. And oftentimes a talebearer or a gossip, they talk about other people because that's their way of lifting up themselves and making themselves feel good about who they are. And if we have to use other people to lift ourselves up, we really have an issue. In Jeremiah chapter 9, in verse 23 and 24, if you want to glory in something today, friends, don't glory in the faults and weaknesses and difficulties of other people's life. Glory in this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. May we be on the Lord's side today. Will you join me in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, today we confess to you that oftentimes we have been on that side of the devil where we have gossiped and we've brought tales to other people that we didn't really have complete knowledge of. And yet we participated as agents of the devil in helping to bring chaos and disunity into other people's lives. I pray for forgiveness today, Lord, for each one of us, and that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would truly, truly see how you feel about this sin that often comes into churches and into families, into relationships at work and in the community, that brings disunity and chaos. And I pray, Lord, that you would cleanse us of that, and that we would have the wisdom from your Holy Spirit to be able to protect ourselves against what the devil is trying to do to us. Help us not to participate in these things, but to uplift our fellow man and to uplift you in all that we do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals today to hymn number 457.